I'm Julia Paskin. Join me as I talk with NPR's Sarah McCammon about her new book, The Ex-Evangelicals, Loving, Living, and Leaving the White Evangelical Church. That's April 25th at the Crawford. Tickets at las.com/events.
It's Film Week on KPCC. I'm Larry Mantle. You heard earlier in the hour a bit about the new family adventure film, The Waterman. David Oyelowo makes his feature directorial debut and also stars in the film. He sat down with our John Horn to talk about the experience and the tips he learned about sitting in the director's chair.
I hate to define a movie by what it isn't, but what your movie isn't is what studios don't make anymore. These are movies that I grew up on, movies like The Goonies, Gremlins, E.T., Stand By Me. And while you're probably a little bit younger than me, it feels like this film is in some ways paying homage to those kinds of movies.
Yeah, those are literally the films that were on my mind, that were in my childhood, that I was looking for to share with my children and couldn't find, and therefore had to go and revisit with my children. And, you know, as much as you and I loved them growing up, the thing that I think our business, I'm talking about the entertainment industry, doesn't seem to appreciate in not making those films anymore is that they provided such a beautiful opportunity for families to not only enjoy adventure, fantasy, entertainment, but I remember having real conversations with my parents having seen E.T., because it was the first time on screen I had seen a family dealing with the wake of a father leaving his family and a mother having to deal with the prospect of being a single parent and what that meant for the children. I remember with the Goonies, same thing. This group of friends, these kids, were about to all be jettisoned from their homes and their community was going to be decimated before the adventure begins. Stand By Me. I mean, a group of kids going to find a dead body. What an intense thing, you know. But when I was that age, these were things I could entertain, things that, you know, didn't feel completely alien to me. And I think weirdly, we've gone into this place where family film means for small young kids and grown-up films is the award stuff and the more critically whatever stuff. And we've sort of lost these films that were able to thread the needle of satisfying the whole family.
And the other thing that I think your film has in common with those movies is that the child, Gunner, in your story has agency. He is controlling the narrative.
Well, that's the job of a film. I think the best films ever made tend to be quite disciplined in staying in the point of view of the protagonist. And I think sometimes because grown-ups are the ones writing the scripts, directing the films, conceiving the story, they can sometimes forget to stick with the protagonist's point of view. But again, those films that you and I just espoused as ones we loved, not only did they stick in the child's point of view, but they didn't talk down to the child.
I think it's often the case that and this isn't a horror movie, but in movies similar to yours, there is always a fear of dying. But in this case, it's Gunner's fear of his mom's dying, not his own. So this is a look really at grief and processing grief and the powerlessness that anybody has when somebody else is either sick or dying.
As much as it is a fear of losing his mother, it's also exemplary of the fact of how much he loves his mother. And, you know, the sacrificial love he has in his heart towards her, i.e. he is prepared to risk everything because she is his everything in a sense. And that's why for us, it was just so wonderful to have the amazing Rosario Dawson playing the mother, who just so beautifully embodies that light and love, and like so many mothers, being the glue in the family. You know, that's why her character is so nervous about the fact that her husband and her son are not getting on well, because, you know, in her absence, their connection is very frail and fragile.
There's an expression that might have some truth, and it is that a lawyer who represents himself or herself has a fool for a client. And I'm wondering if there's anything similar about an actor directing himself.
There is definitely something a little bit insane, maybe even foolish, about taking on both tasks. But, you know, if, in all honesty, if I hadn't seen it done beautifully by others, I probably would just accept that it's impossible, because there are just so many things you are juggling as a director anyway. But to then add being in the film as well is really tantamount to patting your head and rubbing your stomach. But, you know, I sat down with folks like Nate Parker, who had brilliantly done it with Birth of a Nation. I sat down with Mel Gibson. I got great advice from Joel Edgerton, who had done it with The Gift and Boy Erased.
What was the best tip you got?
Well, Joel Edgerton, I think, gave me a really, really practical one, which is do not be the one to say action and cut. That is very, very odd. But the really helpful tip on top of that was make sure if you have a note for your fellow actor who you have a scene with, always leave the scene and go to the monitor, whether you actually watch the monitor or not. The truth of the matter is you probably are opposite that person and thinking, okay, we're going to need to go again, because when I'm purely being an actor, I'm not focusing on the other person's performance in terms of quality. I'm focusing on their performance in terms of being a reciprocal vehicle that is reacting to what they are giving me on the basis of what the character needs and wants out of the scene. But as a director, you literally have to keep an eye on the quality of the performance. And the last thing someone you're acting opposite wants to feel is that their acting is being judged by the character they are sat opposite.
There is a maxim, which probably isn't true, that is, if you're directing for the first time, don't do these things. Don't work with kids. Don't work with animals like wild horses. Don't work with a lot of visual effects. And yet you do all of those things. And I'm wondering, as an actor who has worked with kids, I'm thinking of Queen of Katwe or Come Away, the Peter Pan Neverland reimagining. Did you find yourself pretty comfortable being on set with kids because of the films that you had done before?
Yeah, I think if I were literally either coming out of film school or I hadn't been on as many film sets as I have been on, then maybe that would have been ill-advised. But, you know, I have worked with kids, not only as an actor, but as a producer at this point. And visual effects, yes, that was a hurdle to overcome, but I've done films that have that as a part of it, and I've produced. By the time I was doing The Waterman, that was my sixth film as a producer. But also I had a brilliant cinematographer, Matt Lloyd, who was literally just coming off of shooting Spider-Man before we did The Waterman. And then, you know, a great VFX house in the shape of Pixamundo. So, you know, again, folks who made me look far more experienced and better than I am at that particular element.
That's actor-director David Oyelowo talking with KPCC's John Horn about his new film, The Waterman. It's in theaters now. And speaking of John, he'll be hosting while I'm on vacation next week, hosting Film Week. Remember, you can also get Film Week wherever you get your podcasts from KPCC.
Support comes from Ciclavia, catalyzing vibrant public spaces, active transportation, and good health through car-free streets. Ciclavia promotes respect and infrastructure for bike and pedestrian-friendly public spaces. Enjoy these pop-up parks for the day in your favorite people-powered way. Jogging, biking, skating, strolling, or simply spectating. Free and open to all, Ciclavia Sundays generate miles of smiles in neighborhoods all over L.A. Details at www.ciclavia.org.